chapter 28 in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 106. Exodus chapter 28, we'll be reading two verses from this chapter. We'll turn to yet another chapter in this book and yet another book for some other verses. Exodus chapter 28, verses 17 and 18, page 106. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. We'll read these two verses in unison. You'll begin with me, please. Ready? And thou shalt set it in settings of stones, even four rows of stones. The first row shall be a sardius, a topaz, and a carbuncle. This shall be the first row. And the second row shall be an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. Turn now to Exodus chapter 39, verses 10 and 11, page 122. Verses 10 and 11 of the 39th chapter. We'll likewise read these verses in unison. Read with me, please. And they set in it four rows of stones. The first row was a sardius, a topaz, and a carbuncle. This was the first row. And the second row, an emerald, a sapphire, and a diamond. Leviticus now is the book, the next book over, and the 16th chapter, page 148. We'll read verses 11 and 12 of Leviticus 16. Likewise, we'll read these verses together. Let's read, please. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And let's pray. Father, we pray that you'd certainly meet with us today. We're thankful for the many folks who are here. We're thankful for those who visit among us. And we pray for thy blessing upon member and visitor alike. You've assembled this particular group of people today for a particular reason. And we pray that our hearts and minds would be open to that which you've given our preacher to preach to us this morning. It's the whole purpose of our being here today. We love the music. We love the fellowship. We love that which we experience here every Sunday. But especially, we need the preaching. And so meet our needs and bless our preacher in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let me say one word this morning about Mr. Bordway. Mrs. Howes and I were a great fit. The father of Brother Ray Bordway, he was chairman of the trustees when we came here. He was a member of this church at that time. And he led the trustees in the building of a beautiful new parsonage for Pastor Miller. In the intervening time, Pastor Miller and Mrs. Miller left the church, went to Riverside, California. And Mrs. Hiles and I now have lived in the same house for 35 years. And that house, the leading of the building of that house was done by Brother Bordway's father. And so we owe him a great debt. And I hope that, you know, I don't think I'll check my treble, please, fellas. I don't think I've ever seen the day when so many of our people are suffering as they are today. I can hardly look anywhere but what I, in this building, what I see is somebody whose heart is absolutely crushed. I want to speak this morning to that crowd of people. This will not be a Memorial Day service. This is a pastoral kind of a sermon. I hope it will encourage the hearts of our people who are suffering today. Our Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that you'd help me to be a help to those who help so many others. I pray you'd help me to encourage the encouragers today who need encouragement. I pray for my beloved brother who sits behind me on the platform, the man who stood with me through thick and thin. I pray today that I'll be able to encourage his heart. like he's encouraged mine for 35 years. And I likewise encourage the hearts of his family members. And then all these others out here who have burdens, problems, heartaches today. In Jesus' name, amen. This that I'm going to take from this site is a very common thing. It's not really expensive. Probably cost worth a few dollars. Well, not this piece won't be worth a few dollars. At the most, a few cents. I have in my hand a piece of coal. That piece of coal was used in the Bible, or at least the coal was used in the Bible for the fire that was at the burnt offering at the brazen altar. And then the coals that were on that fire were taken from the brazen altar and taken to the altar of incense, where the sweet-smelling, perfume-like savor ascended up toward heaven. It was used there. Just a piece of coal. It's made of carbon, oxygen, sulfur, and a few other things. Just a piece of coal. Well, it's very useful. Coal can be used to make oil, some certain kind. It's used for dyes, make asphalt, gas, ammonia, and many other things are made by coal. However, some coal is chosen by God mysteriously for a specific task. What God does is this. God takes that little or that material, coal. He compresses it in the ground and causes it to be under heavy heat. And after what the evolutionists think are millions of years, and what others of us would think happened during the flood and years following, that piece of coal goes through the fire and is under the pressure for hours, days, weeks, months, years, decades, and centuries. And it becomes what I hold in my hand this morning. The ingredients of that piece of coal and the ingredients of this little diamond I hold in my hand are the same. There's only one difference between that piece of coal and this diamond: pressure and heat. That's all. There, this piece of coal was not... Oh, by the way, this is a valuable piece of coal. It's worth a few pennies. That's a 1/4-carat diamond. That diamond ring would probably cost you, because that's an excellent cut, that diamond ring would probably cost you $500 to $700 in a jewelry store. I'll give it to you for a bargain. I'll sacrifice it for $400 today. Well, let's take bids. Who will bid more than $400? But you see, that's the only difference. This ugly thing that you see here, and this beautiful thing that you see here, are the same. Only difference is pressure and heat over the years. Tim and Betty, would you stand, please? God is making you this, out of this. This couple you see standing here, this mother found her little boy just a couple of years old, face down, swimming pool. And now for these April and May, several weeks, that little boy has been in a vegetative state. I was thinking, as Tim was singing a while ago, about your teenage years. I lived with you through college. I hate to see my kids suffer. I remember when Betty's family first came to our church. But you're very fortunate in some ways. God is making you from this to this. Out in the city, thank you, Tim and Betty, out in the city of little town of St. John, in the same neighborhood where our daughter and her husband, the Scops, live, the very same thing happened in that neighborhood. You may have noticed the article in the paper. One of the first things that Tim did was go to that man and minister to him. The man was become, it was a little bitter, and Brother Tim convinced him that he shouldn't be bitter. And he ministered to that man. Now, the only difference between that, and by the way, again, that's worth something, a few pennies, that's worth hundreds of dollars. Same ingredients, same thing exactly. Just, this has not had the pressure, and this has not had the heat. I see a man shaking his head like this. I want him to stand. Dan Wolf, would you stand, please? This man is in the fire, has been through the fire, has been through the pressure. He and I have been through a lot of things together. And he's very fortunate. Dan, God's changing you from this to this. I wish I could tell Tim and Betty and Dan that it just takes a little while. I wish I could say that it takes about a year to make this out of this. But it doesn't. It takes many years. Long, many years. The Bible talks about being chosen for the furnace. God chooses. Every piece of coal in the earth can't become this. God decides himself. He decides to take some coal in the heart of the earth and put it under great heat, under great pressure, and that chosen coal becomes a diamond. Thank you, Dan. I'll not have the others stand. Judson and Mrs. Mitchell, for years, God has been putting you through the fire. Under pressure, God's been changing you from this to this. Ray and Mabel, who've been through the fire this week in two ways. I'll not mention the other, but I will say they would have had another little grandchild. God is changing you from this to this. Mrs. Hiles, who's faced a heap of battles in the last few years, God is changing you from this to this. Dr. and Mrs. Evans, who suffer like few of us understand, and do not get the attention they deserve because they're not the kind of people that clamor for attention. God has chosen you. From the other pieces of coal on earth, God has chosen you to be not just a piece of coal, but to put you under the pressure and in the fire so that you can be a diamond. Judge and Mrs. Plymouth, God has chosen you and your entire family, you've been through so much, to make you from a piece of coal to a beautiful diamond. Mrs. Ferris, in a brief period of years, has lost two husbands to death. God has chosen you to change you from coal to diamond. Steve and Linda Depper, who wake up every morning realizing that their boy is not well and will always be not well. God has chosen you, Steve, and God has chosen your lovely wife, Linda, to make you into a diamond from a piece of coal. I want to tell you a story this morning. Much of it you know, some you don't, but let me tell it to you. I want to tell you a story. Years ago in another state, a southern state. A couple got married with all of the dreams and plans that every couple does that gets married. We had a wedding here yesterday. Had to prop the groom up. Almost. It's been 30 years since I... The last groom I saw as nervous as him was Dave Hammers 30 years ago. Somebody said... I won't say that, but anyway, everything. It's the first time I've ever seen them light the center candle and leave the two side ones burning. And it's time to walk out. He walked over to me and said, "What do I do now?" I said, "Don't you know?" He said, the rehearsal was Thursday. It's been 2 days. But years ago in Southern State, a young couple got married. They soon had a daughter, and then another. I will not dwell on the two sons they had. I'm just going to call your attention to the daughters. When the youngest daughter was 8, her mother died. Now you've got these two daughters and two boys, and just the father to rear them. But the father is a traveling salesman. He has to make a living for the family, and the only way he can do it is by traveling. What will we do with these two girls and these two boys? The family got their heads together, and the youngest girl, who was 8 at the time, she was taken to her grandmother's house. And her grandmother reared her for a while. But what we do with the other girl, whose name was Jenny? They took little Jimmy, the sister, and a wealthy couple adopted her. Don't leave me now. A wealthy couple adopted her. Now you've got one little, both sisters away from their daddy. Their mother's gone to heaven. And one is living with the grandmother, and one is living with a wealthy couple who adopted Jimmy. Let me trace the two girls. Let me trace the one who went to live with a wealthy family, the Wrights. I have a picture here. This is an adult picture of her. And this is Jimmy, the lady on the left. Your right is Jimmy. Jimmy was reared in luxury. She had a beautiful home. Most anything that a girl could want. As the years passed, she fell in love with a wealthy man, or a man who was to become wealthy, a very successful man. He became a multimillionaire. And Jimmy, this little girl, whose mother died when she was a child, and whose father was a traveling salesman, and whose grandmother couldn't take both the girls, so she only took the youngest. Jimmy became the wife of a multimillionaire. She lived in gorgeous homes. She wore the best of clothes. They only drove new Cadillac cars, a new Cadillac car every year. They had a chauffeur that chauffeured them around. Jimmy never had to drive anywhere she wanted herself, and her husband didn't have to drive. Jimmy had a chauffeur, beautiful home, everything you can imagine, gorgeous furniture, everything you can imagine. But nobody remembers her. Oh, don't misunderstand me. Jimmy did a lot of good. Like that piece of coal. She certainly was of some value. But who knows the name Jimmy Harris? Oh, let's go back to the other little girl. Little girl that was reared by her grandmother for a while. 4 years later, her grandmother died. And she returned home to her daddy and two brothers. And she became the mother, the housewife, the cook. Bear in mind, these two girls cradled in the same womb. These two girls fed from the same breasts. These two girls were fathered with the same man. These two girls, for the early days of their life, and years of their life, lived in the same house. These two girls ate at the same table. But there was a
turn of events. This one over here, Jimmy, lived in luxury. Never knew a day of suffering. But the other, her name was Costell. She married a drunkard. They had a baby girl. Name was Lorene. They found out Lorene was afflicted, would never be able to walk, would never talk. God was making this out of this. The only difference between Jimmy and Costell . This is Costell, my mother. Do you know that I could have been reared in wealth except for one little decision? When these two girls were parted, when Costell's little afflicted daughter was 7 years old, she died. Costell gave birth to a second daughter. Her name was Hazel. All the time, the depression was there. She had an alcoholic husband. They owned a little store. They lost the store. Bankruptcy set in. They had no place to live. Moved from this place to this place to this place. Had a second child, Hazel. Hazel got the measles. And when she was 7 years of age, she looked up and, "Mother, I don't feel well." My mother picked her up in her arms and crossed the hill, little Hazel. And Hazel said, "Mother, I feel like I'm going up in the air to be with Jesus." And immediately she died in Mother's arms. All the time, Jimmy is driving a Cadillac car. All the time, Jimmy is living in luxury. Mother is out here, Costell out here in the ghettos. All the time, Jimmy is living with beautiful furniture, and Mother has a few pieces of second-hand furniture. All the time, Jimmy is over here in a gorgeous home, and Costell lives in a little shack. All the time, a piece of coal is being formed over here, and a diamond is being formed over here. Hazel's gone. Lorene is gone. Depression comes. Costell works in a lunchroom for 50 cents a day. Jimmy never works a day in her life. She's married to a rich man. Costell rides the bus to work. If she can afford it, if not, she walks 2 miles to work. To work behind a steam table in a lunchroom in a public school for 50 cents a day. While she's walking to work, Jimmy is being escorted and transported by a chauffeur in a Cadillac car. What's the difference? The difference is Jimmy is a piece of coal, worth something, can warm people, be used for asphalt. But God is putting the pressure under one little lady. Why? He's going to make her a diamond. Today, her marriage was happy. Her husband successful. Her husband left her to rear a couple of kids by herself. And especially in the formative years of a boy's life. All the time, Jimmy was living in luxury. What was the difference? Same womb, same father, same house, same table. Everything's the same. And today, the name Costell Hiles is known around the world. I saw that little gal sit here in a wheelchair with this building packed and jammed with people from every state in the Union, and 19 or 20 foreign countries stand up and cheer her while she sat in a wheelchair, and her name is in books, and her name is on a plaque, and her name is known around the world. But what caused it? The only difference was she had the fire to go through, and she never knew the fire. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to be that. Let God put you in the fire and pay the price, and God will make a diamond out of you. But I don't like trouble. Nobody likes trouble, but that's the way you make diamonds. But I want to have it easy. Listen, if I gave you your choice today, listen to me. If I gave you your choice today of being a Jimmy or a Costal, 99% of the people in this room would say, I'll take Jimmy. If I gave you a choice today of living in poverty and watching your boy not have food to eat or clothes to wear, or living over here like Jimmy did, anything your children want, they can have it. Anything they desire, heart's desire, they can have it. You'd say, I'd take this, and that's okay. And you'll still be some good. But those of you that have to come over here, I'm talking about your little two-year-old boys in a vegetative state today. Or if your wife has been suffering, or if cancer has been through your family, you've had the tough times and the rough times. I'm saying, if you're over here, enjoy it. If you're over here, praise God, you've been chosen to become a diamond. Jimmy had a daughter. Her name was Harvey Janelle. About the same time, my mother had a daughter whose name was Earlene. Earlene didn't have any money to buy her graduation clothes. Thank God Aunt Jimmy and Uncle Harvey saw that she had it. Harva had the world at her feet. Earlene had to work to support our family much of the time so we could even have a bite to eat or a stitch of clothes to wear. Harva was popular and well-known in the school, and Earlene was the kind that had to tough it. Harva wore new clothes, anything she wanted. Earlene wore hand-me-downs that came from Harva's house. Anybody know Harva Harris? Anybody know Harva Janelle? Everybody in fundamentalism knows the name Earlene Stevens. You know why? One difference. The fire and pressure. One difference. That's the only difference. That thing right there. And there's nothing wrong with being that. If that's what you want to be, okay. But praise God, God reaches down, and by His providence and by His omniscience, God says, I need some diamonds in the world. And God, don't complain when God chooses to put you in the fire. God's making a diamond out of you. Please don't misunderstand me, because I'm the least of these. But Jimmy had a boy. His name was Rupert. Costal had a boy. His name was Jack. Jack lived over here in the ghettos, and Rupert lived over here in what we call Highland Park, the elite section of our city. Jack didn't have a pair of shoes that was bought for him until he was 14 years old, and Rupert had all the shoes and clothes he wanted. Jack had a daddy who was an alcoholic who seldom came home and never did anything much for his boy. And Rupert had a father who was a millionaire, put him in his will and made Rupert a millionaire when he died. Anybody know Rupert Harris? I want to thank God today for the fire. I was born in it, reared in it, still live in it. Everything good about me I owe to the fire. Every preacher that's ever lived who's influenced a nation or a world for God, it's been through the fire. Many people could preach as well as Spurgeon could, but they weren't in the fire. Many people could write as well as John Bunyan could, but they never spent 12 years in the Bedford jail. Many folks could travel and explore as well as David Livingstone could, but they never suffered the pain and agony of physical pain that he suffered. I'm not saying you ought to go jump in the fire. I'm simply saying when the fire comes, look up and thank God. I want to thank God today. See, don't understand me. Let's suppose that day. Boy, I've thought about this a million times. Let's suppose that day when the little family gathered around. Mama's gone now. And children, daddy's got to travel to work. I can't take care of you anymore. You've got to find a place for you to live. Jimmy and Costell. One of you is going to go to live with the Wrights and be adopted into a wealthy family. One of you is going to go to grandmother, live with grandmother. You know it could have been just as easy for them to have chosen my mother to be adopted in the wealthy family. And I would have been the son of a millionaire. And I would have lived in gorgeous homes as a child. And I would have had everything I wanted. Last night I was thinking about this, preparing my mind for this message in my heart. Down the kitchen of our house, I had a spell. Thank God. Thank God that Mama went to Grandma's house and Jimmy went to wealth. I owe today everything I am, everything I've done, I owe it to the fire and the pressure. I'll close with this. When I got 60 years old, I thought maybe I wouldn't have to be in the battle so much. Nobody picks on old men. Nobody attacks old men. Somebody said, you know, you're getting old when you help an old lady across the street and you find out you're married to her. I know nothing about that. Because I never helped my wife across the street. She helps me across the street. But I thought that everybody loved old men, especially old preacher men. And I got just at the edge, Brother Bob, of the furnace. And I saw how they lived outside. And I thought, now that I'm a senior citizen, I won't have to be in the furnace. All of a sudden, I was thrown back in. And I had to come to the realization that I'll have to live in the furnace the rest of my life. To be quite frank with you, I'm sort of glad. Because I have not made myself. This great church was not built by Jack Hyams. This great church was built by the fire. First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana stands forth as a diamond in its setting all over the world. The greatest church in America. The greatest soul-winning station in the whole world and maybe in the history of the world. And yet, the reason is, praise God, God took us like that and made us like that. You see, Brother Hyams, how do you get in the fire? Want to get in? No, you don't want to get in either. But you can do what I did. Present yourself. Wherever He leads, I'll go. Wherever He leads, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ who loves me so. Wherever He leads, I'll go. And I'll not look down to see through what I'm passing. I'll look up to see Him. And I'll follow His leadership. And I'll follow His guidance. If that takes me through the fire, I'll praise Him. Because that's the difference in a piece of coal and a diamond. God sure has been good to me, you say. We have a nice home. We have a good job. We have money in the bank. We drive a nice car. God sure has been good to me. Yes, He has. But He's been better to those who live in the fire and live under the pressure. Now, again, don't jump in the fire. Just volunteer for the fire. Don't ask God to put your child face down in the swimming pool. I'll close with this. One thing that man right there said to me last Sunday, I'll never forget as long as I live. They've had to move to Indianapolis. They're only here for the holiday for a special provision down there for their child where they believe their child can be helped. They came to my office to tell me goodbye last Sunday. And as Tim walked out, he said, and I'll never forget these words, "Thank you, preacher, for taking 22 years to prepare me for this." To those who are not in the fire, don't jump in it. For those who are not in the fire, don't violate, don't ask for it. Rejoice. Enjoy your life. To those who are in the fire, congratulations. You're part of a chosen few, just like a few chosen few pieces of coal from which come diamonds. But they only come through pressure and in the fire. Our Heavenly Father,